Happy to be here this morning.
Amen.
One more time.
Yeah. Let me praise God.
Yes.
Yes.
That's what I'm testifying. Lord,
He's real.
Yes. Amen.
I
Amen.
Love how Amen. God is a personal God. I love how He talks to me. I love how He takes care of me. You know, this old mind of ours can do all kinds of crazy things.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we have this Word of God.
Amen.
We have a revelation.
So
and it holds us. And you know, that old shadow, when it tries to talk to you, light comes in and just drowns out all the darkness.
Amen.
I praise God for this revelation. I've based my life on this.
Yes.
I've given my life for this.
Yes.
And I thank God for it. And it's nothing I did. It is nothing I did. It's 100% Him. I play a part. I have to do my part. I have to be who I am. I have to play my part. But it's Him living through me.
That's right.
And I have a revelation on that. And I know when I speak, He speaks.
Come on.
I know it. I thank God for it.
Amen. Amen.
You know, if the day with the Lord says 1,000 years to man, that means I got about 30, 40 minutes left. So I ain't got time for the devil. No way you fix him. I ain't got time to even look over to the darkness, let alone wander over there. You know, it's good to be back. It's good to be back in the presence of the Lord, you know. Not that He ever left me, but just something about being together with the body, with the bride, you know. Assembling ourselves together. You know, I enjoyed the trip, but it's good to be home. And I was thinking about, you know, I'm enjoying this life, but when it's time to go home, I'll be much more happier, that's for sure. And I really enjoy this life. I don't let the devil take my joy away from me at all. Up there, enjoyed it, the beauty of it. You know, I like to see something different, something new, something I haven't seen before, you know. I don't like a rut at all. I was thinking the other day, you know, that, you know, about, you know, overcoming the Lord, you know, and think about start back running, you know, and just getting into that groove. And I said, well, a groove ain't nothing like a rut. It's good to be in a groove. It's not so good to be in a rut. Amen. But in that groove where the devil can't touch you, you stay right in the middle of the road. You stay right there where the Lord's prepared, where He's, you know, He provides everything you need. He provides every bit of faith you need, every bit of understanding you need for that very next step. And I'm so thankful for that. He's done that my whole life. And I'm not about to doubt Him now. Not about to stray now. Too close home. I see the lights of the city. I see that finish line. I come around the fourth corner now. I'm heading for the finish line. Oh, you know, you run with patience for a while, but after a while, you start sprinting. You start sprinting. I'm going home now. Amen. Good to be back.
Amen. Amen.
I probably shouldn't say this, and too many voices were telling me to sit down, so I'm going to come up. A lot of you know, I had a TBI that causes all kinds of problems. And one of them is bad bouts of depression. And it was either Thursday or Friday. I was just laying, it was bad. And I was telling myself, you know, gotta have a push. It didn't work too well. I didn't get out of bed till like 10:30. And then so what I normally do is I turn on worship music and I'll try to get in that groove and change. This time, nothing. So I switched over to Wednesday night service.
That's right.
And by the time Brother Mike Peters testified about he has no excuse,
amen.
And, you know, that spirit just lifted.
Amen.
And before anyone started preaching, just listen to your guys' testimonies.
Yep, that's right.
Amen.
I was 100% back and jumping and praising.
Amen.
So when they say they overcome by the blood and the power of their testimony, right, your testimony helps me overcome.
Right.
And when you sit on it, you're hurting the rest of the body. It's good for you, helps you overcome, helps other people overcome.
Right.
So even if it sounds silly, I'd rather sound silly and miss the chance to help someone else, whether they're in here or they're watching on the TV.
Amen.
It's good to see all the bride of Jesus Christ here. Good to see some of my family here. Eula, Amen, Melanie, Vanessa, Jennifer. And I'm glad to be in the house of God. Good to see the bride body. Amen. From little Bethlehem here. I want to give God praise for all that He has done for me. And so we're just going to sing a song or play a song.
Amen.
I just want to say I am thankful and blessed and glad to be here. I'm thankful for my brothers and sisters here.
Amen.
Pastor Moore, the preaching, I'm just so blessed. And on that note, I just want to say, please pray for the caregivers. You know, my daughter's a nurse, and I can see the tiredness on their face. They go through a lot just every day, the doctors and the nurses and So just please keep them in your prayers and uplift them, because, amen, you know, a lot of them, you know, they do all they can to make a person who is either dying or just sick to feel better. So please keep them in your prayers.
If this mic's right in front of me, I want to say something, too. I just want to give God some glory. You know, he's been with me this week, and I'm glad to be here. You just don't know the battles I fight in my mind just to get here. But I've overcome. I just want to thank God for the victory. Amen.
All right.
Okay,
ready?
Yeah.
Thing about that, the Word made flesh, and why did it have to be the Word made flesh? Because we needed a kinsman redeemer. A kinsman redeemer. He had to redeem us back. Because we are the Word made flesh. And we couldn't have been Word made flesh without the first sacrifice of God. And I was thinking about that also, that going to put us back into the Garden of Eden condition. Well, what was the big Garden of Eden condition? The Word made flesh, able to walk and talk lip to ear with God. Amen. Showing how close we are to that final step. Is that we can right now talk lip to ear right with God, the Word made flesh, just as it was in the Garden of Eden. And it's just so grateful that this ministry can give that to me, an understanding that I am walking back, right straight back to where God wanted me from the beginning.
Yes.
Amen.
I'm just grateful to be here right now. You know, something stuck out to me, what Brother Bond was saying. And, you know, I was thinking, wow, the greatest battle that was ever fought was in the mind.
Yeah.
And, you know, you got to overcome that mind.
Yeah.
And you overcome it with the new mind. You know, he said, let this mind be in you.
Right.
As it was in Christ Jesus, you know. And, you know, you got something I need. Each and every one of you have a testimony that I need to overcome.
Fitly joined together.
So the Bible says, will a man rob God? You know, you will if you sit on him.
True.
You know, you're robbing me. Yeah. Word made flesh, you know, robbing all of us. You know, and your testimony really means a lot. Because you could be sitting on the body change and not know it. And, you know, I need that. So just think about how important you are. Because if you're in this church, God chose you for a specific reason. Not to sit on it, not to just warm a bench, but to give everything that you got. Because he gave you so much. To whom much is given, much is required. And I just want to, I really want to thank God. And I just want to praise him. So if I could get that Kia Covey there. If I ask for things that I should not ask for, if I pray for things selfishly, if I ask for myself and not for my neighbor, take this veil from my eyes and let me see. Amen. Not my will, but thine be done. Pray, Jesus, may the same prayer be mine every day. When this robe of flesh that I wear makes me falter, guide my steps, hold my hand all the way. When my pathway is dark and my heart gets so weary, if I seek for an easier way, I worry because my load gets too heavy, make me willing to walk in thy way. Not my will, but thine be done. Pray, Jesus, may the same prayer be mine every day. Hey, God bless you.
A flesh that I'm wearing makes me falter. my feet, hold my hand all the way.
Amen. Amen.
Let's sing Heaven's Jubilee, page 69. Go ahead.
Amen.
When God talks to me, I want to obey best Amen. I can. I don't know everything, but the Holy Ghost, I know that. He'll lead and guide me. I'm happy to be here.
Amen. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
69. Jesus in the air, coming after you and me. To share what rejoicing there will be when the saints shall rise, headed for that jubilee yonder in the sky. Oh, what singing! Oh, what singing! Oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we believe. that now I almost see. Oh, the sainted dead, they are rising for that you believe. That is just ahead. In the twinkling of an eye, change with them to be. All the living saints of God, to them jubilee. Seated.
Amen.
Oh, what singing.
Wow.
You know, I think sometimes we look too much to the future.
Yeah, yeah.
We say, oh, what singing then?
Amen.
Oh, what shouting then?
Come on.
Sometimes we spend too much time worrying about tomorrow. When you need to worry about today. What's wrong with singing today? What's wrong with shouting today? My Bible tells me over in the book of Revelations that there was silence in heaven. The space of a half an hour. If there was silence in heaven, and wherever God is, there's noise. You got to keep that in mind. Wherever God is, there's hallelujahs.
Yes.
Wherever God is, there's praises.
Yes.
Wherever God is, there's rejoicing.
Amen.
Wherever God is, oh my goodness. Wherever God is, it's loud.
Oh, goodness.
But if there's silence in heaven,
yes.
If it's silence in heaven, that means God's moved from heaven.
Yes.
But then where did he go?
Yeah. Okay.
If we're going to sing and shout when we get over there, because we're like, oh, what singing? Oh, what shouting? See, we believe that. But that's then. This is now. So if there's silence in heaven, and wherever God is, there's noise. And God's not there, because if he was there, there'd be noise. If he moved from there, where did he go? If you find where the sounds are, if you find where the shout is, if you find where the hallelujahs are, you'll find where God is.
Yes, amen.
Yes, sir.
So if he's come down and he's here, why are we singing about when we all get to heaven? What a day of rejoicing that'll be. Why not start rejoicing now? Why not start praising God now? Why not start letting the noise happen now? Why not let the hallelujahs roll now?
Amen. Yes.
Let's warm it up for them.
Yes.
Oh, it'll take care of itself when we get there. But while I'm here, I want to sing the praises of God. I want to rejoice. I want to praise God for what he's done for me right now.
Amen.
Okay.
To praise him for?
Yeah, come on. Did he do anything for you today? I'm just talking about today. I'm just talking about today. They say, did he wake you up this morning? Did he get you a sound mind today? Did he get you dressed? Did he get you to the house of God? Did he unite you with the body one more time? Oh, then you got something to praise him for. That's enough right there to have church. He said, you don't know what he did for me last week. I don't care what he did for you last week. He's done enough for you today. He told Moses, he said, tell him that I am.
Not I was, not I will be. It's the I am. It's always that God is the I am, present tense. And when God is on the scene, he can do miraculous things. He can heal the sick. He can raise the dead. He can give you a sound mind. He can touch your body. He can solve your problems. He can take away your adversities. He can put love where there's hatred. He can put forgiveness where there's disbelief. He can do all those things when you know he's here. That's what I'm talking about. That's why when we come to church, you need to come to church. Don't come here and go home with your problems. That song says, leave it there. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. When you leave it there, ain't nothing gonna take it with you. Don't take it out of here. I always say, just slide it under the seat. Just put it in a seat. Whatever it is. If it's sickness, just slide it under the seat. If it's anger, just slide it under the seat. When they clean the church, they'll get rid of it. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord. Good to have my family, natural family, with me. They're in the house. Good to have Brother Allen with us. And his family, which is my family, which is your family, in the house. Good to be here. I'm excited to hear what he's got to say. You know, he don't normally just call me and say, I feel led to come. So when he said he felt led to come, I said, you name the date. So I'm going to turn it over to him. But y'all family, y'all got anything to say? Y'all want to say anything at all? Y'all quiet? What? Eula, what? Eula? What? I'm going to say something. Something. Either way, you can come or you can go. We try to make it convenient for you. You're messing with mail now.
Okay. Good morning. Good morning. It is indeed an honor and a pleasure and a blessing to be in the house again. I'm in the house.
In the house.
And I always feel so welcome when I come back. You know, I am the extended family that lives in Georgia.
That's right.
So I want to thank God today for, you know, waking me up this morning and starting me on my way. And we all have adversities in life. But you just got to turn them over and just let go and let God.
There you go.
Because how else can we make it in this world?
That's right.
You know, just let go and let God. And I just am so proud and always happy to see my brother up in that podium. Yes. Because it always brings back memories of my mother, you know, when she was here. So I'm looking forward to the message today.
Amen.
And again, not aloha, but hello.
Aloha is hello and goodbye. Amen. Amen. Thank you. And I want to sing one song, and I'm going to give it to Brother
Pastor Moore.
Go ahead, ma'am.
If I may.
You may.
I fought with the devil to get up, as I normally do. Mm-hmm. Right. Should I tell my family this is the word that I believe?
Uh-huh.
Or should I stay in my seat and just let everybody know from there? No. So thank you for the opportunity to get up, because I let that time slide. But I believe this message.
Amen.
And what I pray is that I am able to manifest it more every day. You know, I forget which preacher it was that said, you got to make time for God. You got to make time. If that's what you believe, then make time.
That's right.
Read that Bible. Sing a song if you can. Mm-hmm. But let people see that this is what you believe.
Amen.
And I believe it. I love this message, and God bless you, church.
Amen.
I'm glad I got up, because I shook him off now.
That's good.
I'm ready.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Vanessa.
Well, I wasn't going to actually get up. And I really wasn't going to get out of bed. That's the truth. And I just thought, V, just go.
That's right.
If you get up and go, you will be blessed.
That's right.
Thank you for having me.
Amen.
We love you.
Amen. Good to have you here.
Okay. I'm usually the person in the background. But every time I come and visit with the Moore family, and I'm a part of the family, I always feel like I don't have to be in the background.
Right. That's,
you know,
right.
Because I know they see me. I know they love me. Mm-hmm. And I thoroughly enjoy being here and visiting with Nate and his lovely wife. Mm-hmm. They always make me feel welcome. And even if I feel like there's something I need to know, it always happens.
That's right.
It always happens. There's no accidents. There's no mistakes.
Mm-mm.
And I always feel like I know more when I leave here.
That's right.
So I appreciate that.
Amen. Amen. You sure can.
Amen.
I cannot come in this house without giving God the hallelujah, which is the highest praise for what he has done for my brother. You know, you stand fast on that word. God does it. He didn't ask me to do it. He didn't ask the doctors to do it. He didn't ask the nurses to do it. He said, I got this.
That's
and
right.
I'm just standing on that word, and
Amen.
I'm just so glad. I'm so glad because he is his word. You stand on him. You love his word. You love him. He is the word. When you're trying to get something done, you repeat the word because he said, he only can honor his word. It's not my thought. It's not my emotions. He said, I've already given you the blueprint of what you need to do.
That's right.
You repeat after me. You repeat it, I got it. Just like a good husband. You only say what your husband say, and he has to honor that. So I'm just thankful so much. I'm so thankful for a wonderful God. I'm so thankful for this body. Just standing here with us, holding us. We were soldiers. One of our preachers was down. Everybody pulled out their swords and said, we're going to fight this together. So I'm just so thankful. I'm so honored. God bless you, brother. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I'm just so, so happy. I'm giving him the highest honor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for all that you have done because you already done it.
Amen. 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 Y'all, we got company. Y'all know what y'all told y'all about company. Sorry, Brother Allen. They're trying, but it's hard. Sometimes you just got to let it go. The more that I surrender, I'm going to turn it over to Brother Allen. That's Kia F. The more that I surrender, the lighter the load. The more that I release my cares, the more you take control. The more that I can humble myself, the more you lift me up. When I give up, God takes over. That's what he wants to do. Amen. So we're going to turn this over to Brother Allen. Now, they've got singers, they've got musicians, they've got everything they need to get the job done. So whatever he does from this point on, don't blame me. The more that I surrender, say, the more you take control, and the more that I can humble myself, the more you lift me up. Every day I live, Lord, I love you more. Yes, the more that I surrender, eyes on the blesser.
Appreciate you. Bless you. You may be seated. I think it's good to be here, don't you?
Yes.
And I'm happy. And I was enjoying the service. And I asked Brother Moore, I said, who's going to preach today? He just looked at me and said, well, if you don't know. But Brother Moore was preaching pretty good there, wasn't he? And we appreciate God's presence here. And I enjoyed what I've been, what I've seen and heard so far.
Amen.
And it's good to be here. If someone would get Brother David the mic and take it to him, we'd appreciate that. And it's so good to be here.
Amen.
We've been praying for Brother James, and we're trusting the Lord that things is going to be good for him. You know, there's a reason for everything that happens. Why? Sometimes we think, well, we got mind battles. There's a reason for that. There's a reason for everything. But just remember this, everything works out for the good of them.
Amen.
That love the Lord.
Amen.
And are called according to his purpose.
Yes.
That wonderful to have that understanding. I think we're all right this morning, don't you? Brother David, I want you to sing good to us.
Okay. I'll do my best. I like to testify a little bit this morning. I don't normally do that, but I thank God for being here today. And, you know, I was just sitting thinking on my way over here. You know, Brother Jerry, he's been preaching some great messages, and Satan, he can't touch my life, you know. And he might be able to, might try to tear this outer man down and, you know, do a lot of things, but he can't touch that life. And I just thank God for the eternal man. And I'm going to try to sing this song for you guys. I've sung it once at home, so bear with me. I don't need silver, and I don't need gold. I don't need the things of this world to satisfy my soul. But I need Jesus and all that he is. He's my salvation. He's why I live. He's all I need when the trials come. He's all I need when there's nowhere to run. When I'm
trouble, caught in a storm, takes care of me. He's all I need when the time comes, when I cross that river, when my life is done. He fought the battle and the victory's been won. He's all I need. I don't need fortune, and I don't need fame. I don't need the things of this world to satisfy my soul, but I need Jesus and all that he salvation, and he's why I live. He's all I need when the trials come. He's all I need when there's nowhere to run. When I'm in trouble, I'm caught in a storm, takes care of me. When my time comes, when I cross that river, when my fear is all gone, he fought the battle and the victory's been won. He's all I need.
All that I need. Amen. Would you stand with me again? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, for your goodness. Lord, for your mercy and for your grace. We thank you for the richness of it, Lord, that it goes very deep. Lord, without you, we couldn't do nothing. We wouldn't even be able to raise our hand in praise, but Lord, you've given that ability to us. You've given us something in our hearts that we could bring back to you. We have that connection. So Lord, we want to give everything that we have back to you. We thank you for the praises. We thank you for the testimonies, Lord. We thank you for all of it, Lord, and it's been good. And Lord, we ask now that you would anoint the lips, anoint the hearing for your most precious word. Speak to our hearts today. Let us know what you want. And help us to receive it, Lord, gladly. We give you thanks for it. Lord, I know that many have been praying for Brother James. Pray that you'll touch him today, Lord. Give him the touch that he needs. We ask that you would do that. Bless now, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. And I was thinking about when Brother Moore was asking some of the brothers if they wanted to get up and speak and kind of help fill in, you know, like on Wednesday night. I thought, well, if I was here, I would have raised my hand up for Brother James. So I'm here on a Sunday, and I appreciate Brother Moore and for allowing us to come and be a part of this. It means a lot to us. And we just appreciate this little body here. And so we might be little, but God's great, isn't he? And I appreciate the message that Brother Moore brought here a few weeks ago. It's called the breaking of the bread. And Brother Moore let us know that the Son of Man was with us all the way down through. And he was giving out bread. And the evidence that God's with us is because the breaking of the bread. It's the breaking of the bread. God is with us. So he's been here, and now we have the full word back on the scene. See, down through time, the Son of Man was given out because it was someone likened unto the Son of Man that was coming down through there, and he was building another masterpiece. He's building one for himself. And so he was given out this bread, the breaking of bread, and he was giving out pieces. Giving out part. He couldn't just give it all at one time. He had to build. There had to be a process. So God began to give out bread. It's been the breaking of bread from the very beginning all the way down to now. It's been the breaking of the bread. We could call it the unfailing body word of the Lord. We have that. The breaking of the bread. And Jeremiah come by. I was on vacation. And he took a little message, and the Lord gave him a verse of Scripture, and he just kind of hung with it. He's always on time. Yes. Amen? Amen? I like that about my God, don't you? Amen. He's always on time, and he knows what he's doing. When it seemed like the world's falling apart, and you think, oh me, oh my, God's right there. He's right on time. He might let you go through something, but if he is, he's doing it for a reason. And I tuned in a little bit on my brothers here that they preached here Wednesday night. And I thought they'd done a good job. And I think it was Brother Isaiah, Brother Ted, and it was Brother James. Did I get your name right, Brother James? I thought that was pretty good. And you know, let me tell you something. That nervousness will never go away. It never goes away. But what helps is when the anointing kicks in. When the anointing kicks in, everything kind of smooths out for you. You better look out. And I would be willing to sit right down right now if Brother Moore wanted to come up and preach for his family. I would do that. I would do that. And we've been praying for Brother James. And we're going to trust the Lord that he'll be okay. Now, I want to read from a scripture. And this may seem kind of strange for me to read the scripture, but I just kind of got a reason for it. Matthew 7, verses 1 and verses 2. And it's very familiar. And it goes like this: judge not, condemn not. Now, Paul let us know in Romans 8:1, we're free from all condemnation. Amen. If you're walking in Christ, then you're free. You're free from being condemned, but you're also free from not judging. See, you're free from condemnation, then why would you want to hand it out? Judge not.
Amen.
Don't hand it out.
That's right. That
you be not judged.
Amen.
If you judge and you start comparing and you start measuring, look out. You've got competition going on then. You're going to think you're better than somebody else, or you're going to think you're lower. And God don't want the upper and He don't want the lower. He wants us on the same page. Loving one another with unfailing love. That's what God wants you to have in your heart. Unfailing love. There's a reason for this. Now just be patient with me. Our thoughts of others should always have an outcome of peace. And togetherness, or a closeness. There should never be an evil thought in our mind towards no one. Just peace and closeness. I feel that here this morning. In verse 2, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye met, whatever the distance is that you put between you and your brother and sister, it's going to be met to you. Think about that. It's that if you're measuring that, that you've got a distance going on here. You know, God never has distanced Himself from us. Not one time has He ever distanced Himself. With what measure you met, it shall be measured to you again. Distancing yourself away causes separation. You know that? We were talking a little bit about it this morning. We need fellowship. We don't need the distance. I want that closeness is what I want. You see how close these families are sitting together? I don't see no distance this morning. I love that. When we started having house service, you know what we do? We had to kind of pack it in. And I liked it because we were close. You better make sure you brush your teeth. But there's a closeness here. But judge not. Don't let God, don't let Satan play tricks up here. You know what you do when you begin to distance, when you begin to think wrong thoughts? You're separating yourself. You're backing away, and you're getting further and further away from that closeness that you had. A little close right now, aren't we? Now, sometimes we see things that we think, well, I don't think that brother should have done that. I don't think that sister should have said that. But if I take an attitude, that's where the problem starts, the attitude. You're dealing with the Spirit. That's right, Brother Deskins, a reaction. But listen, when I come against, we'll just use Brother Moore, but I want it to be all of us. But if I allow something to come between me and Brother Moore, and I do it, he's a happy camper. It don't bother him. But what I've done, I've distanced myself away from him. And then before I know it, I think, well, I've got to add a little something to it. And I start backing away. I've got some distance going on. And I keep doing it. I'm building walls. I'm building barriers because I've let Satan attack this guy up here. Someone said the greatest battle ever fought is in the mind. And what I end up being a sad camper on the sideline. Oh me, oh my. But I'm the one that caused it. I'm the one that built the wall. I'm the one that created the barrier. You know what I got to do? Wherever you leave Christ, you find Him right where you left Him. Go back to where you left Him and everything will be fixed. You know what you got to do? You got to let those spirits go. You got to let all those hard feelings that you got against that brother or sister, you got to let it go. I'm getting back closer now, aren't I? I'm starting to drop it. You know what I find out? As I get closer, I think, oh, well, that brother or sister changed, and I realize, no, I'm the one that changed. I'm the one that changed. Change is good. Change is hard sometimes, but it is good. Are we together so far? I was looking at some things this morning. I was up early. I got to looking at something, and something struck me. But what I was looking at. Now, Brother Branham talked about two laws. The law of death and the law of life. But both of them were based on conditions. I like the law of life. Give me a moment here. But the law of death and the law of life were based on conditions at one time. Because God also had two covenants. The first covenant was based on conditions. But the other covenant that he introduced to his elect, to the seed of Abraham, which is what we are, he said, it's not based on conditions. I'll take care of it. Amen. God takes care of it. And when God takes care of it, it's a finished work. You don't have to add anything to what he does. But listen to this. The only way to live by the law of life without conditions is for the law of life to be in you and live through you.
Amen.
When John come up here and testified, that's what I seen. I thought, what a burst. What a burst of a testimony this morning to be so strong and so sure. How many has the life of God living in them this morning? If I didn't preach no more, we're satisfied, aren't we? Because we know without a doubt that there's a life in us.
Yes.
And I feel like the Lord kind of rebuked me one day in my office. I was kind of down, you know how you get sometimes.
Yes.
Especially us preachers. Don't kid yourself, we go through things.
Amen.
We do.
Yeah.
And some of you pick up on it, don't you? But I thought, I'm not this, not that. And I walk in my office just as clear as day. Something said, but they cannot touch your life. And then later on, he let me know, it's the life of Christ in you. Every one of you have that life. I'm not here to put no one out. I'd rather get in trouble pulling somebody in than putting them out. But the only way to live by the law of life without conditions, it has to come to the inside. And then he's the one doing it.
Amen.
Now, for a message title, we talked a little bit on this at our church. And when Brother Moore came down, it was fresh right off the press. He said, my congregation hasn't heard this. And I thought, whoopee, we got it first. But I got a message title. With input comes output.
Yes.
Okay? Now just remember, in the middle of the input and the output, there's a process going on. And we have to be patient sometimes, don't we? But with input comes output. Whatever it is that you put into something is what you should expect to get. I've always put everything I can into my singing. I loved to sing when I was a kid. And I felt like I took after my dad. My dad, when it come down to it, was my favorite singer. Because he put everything into it. He put his heart into it. I have to be careful now. I'm a little bit more up in age. When I preach, I've done something to my voice. I can't sing that much. I'll die out real quick. But whatever you put into something is what you get. You usually get what you're looking for. Just make sure you're looking for the right thing.
Amen?
Sometimes we see things we don't want that we didn't go looking for. Sometimes we get things put on our plate that we didn't even ask for. But sometimes it's for a reason. God knows what he's doing. Now, let's define what input and output is. Input is defined as to what is put into something or what is taken in. And it's like a recipe that's got ingredients. You take all those ingredients and you mix it together. You sisters knows what I'm talking about. Maybe some of the brothers, but mainly you sisters. You know what the ingredients are because you look them up. But it's like a recipe with ingredients and then processing those ingredients for an expected outcome or output. And then output is defined as the production of a certain amount. The final product. Now listen, it's the final product of something produced. God produced something down through time. He shaped it and fashioned it, or He formed it. There was a little seed laying in you at your natural birth that came there by God's own hand. It's what we call a predestinated seed. But it lay there dormant. Brother Brandon even called it an angel. But that little angel or that little seed had life in it. And it was your life that was laying there. The real you. And God wanted to produce something from that seed. He wanted to fashion something. He wanted to form. You know, you become what you eat. Now, in one sense of the word, input is opposite of the output. But only in the sense of the process. Okay, now we're getting ready to talk about something good here. If you go to the store and buy some bananas, get a little bit of milk, a little bit of ice cream, make sure you got a blender at home, because you're going to process those ingredients. You put it through the process, you know what you're going to come out with? I'm hoping a good milkshake. And I hope you put plenty of ice cream in, because I like mine thick. I like milkshakes, but they don't like me so well. When I study, I pray, Lord, give me the inspiration. Amen. Even in my study. Amen. And I trust for His anointing when I get up here. Amen. Now, this is about us. Every word of God is a seed that comes from God. And that seed holds ingredients. It's got something in it that God wants to bring. God wants to put it through a process. Everything is in the seed. Everything that you have in, that you have need of, is already in you. It's in there. So God promised to bless that seed. He promised to produce what was in how? By revealing the contents. Be revealing or processing the contents. He promised to watch over. He promised to watch over what He put inside of you. Amen. And cause it to produce of its kind. Amen. Amen. He promised to do it. He promised to make sure it would perform.
That's right.
I like high performance.
That's right.
We had some performance going on here today.
Yeah.
I like the performance, don't you?
Yeah.
So when God speaks a word or He says something, He don't ever have to take it back. He never has to postpone it. He doesn't have to proofread it. You know what I mean? Did I say this right or did I say it wrong? He don't have to tweak it. He don't have to improve it. He never has to say, I'm sorry for saying it. He don't have to say, I'm sorry for treat your neighbor as you would yourself.
Right.
Overcome evil with good. God don't have to take that back.
Amen.
Amen. God knows what He's doing.
Amen.
And here's the thing about God. There's no fear in Him of ever failing.
Amen.
There's no fear in God because love that we love so much, His love, has no fear in it. His love casts out the fear.
Amen.
God is love, and where love is at, fear can't be.
Amen.
There can be no fear of failing. We have an outside man, we got an inside man. There's no fear of this inside man failing. It will do what it's supposed to do.
Amen.
By the hand of God.
Amen.
And it is God.
Amen.
His word will never come to nothing, but it will always produce. It will have an outcome. It will do just exactly what He said it's going to do. The truth spoken always has its expected end.
Yes.
It has an expected outcome.
Yes.
What God thinks by inspiration, listen, he turns around and he speaks it by the same inspiration. And when he gets ready to fulfill it, it'll be fulfilled by the same inspiration. God writes it in his own mind. He's got the thought. It was already written there. And then when he speaks it, it's only a replay of what he already thought. And when it comes into manifestation, it's another replay. He just replays what he thought. But it's an input and there's an output. There is an expected end. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. Jeremiah 29 verse 11. For I know the thoughts. I know what the input is. I know what the ingredients are. I know what I put in that seed. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Through all the trials and the upsets that we might go through in life, God never changes his thought that he had of you. He don't have to change it. He never puts a distance between him and you. He knows his thoughts. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. Amen. What's he going to do? To give you an expected end. If there's an input, there has to be an output. Always. Brother Brandon, we remember the little story that he told about the little woman that he met in an interview. We know the story. And she let Brother Branham said, I have so many things against me that were wrong. Think about that. And Brother Branham said she was a godly little woman. All these troubles, all these wrongs that was against her, against me, against you. But yet we're godly people sitting here this morning. Remember what he thinks is peaceful thoughts of you. He never changes them. And Brother Branham said, you can't look at yourself. You have to look at your desire and what you're trying to do. Amen? All the rest of it is covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. God looks at the heart. Satan goes for the mind. We look at the outside. Amen? Always. Jesus said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. What world? Your world. He promised to take care of what he put inside of you. And God always keeps his appointments, don't he? He keeps. He holds to his promise. How does he do it? He's processing. Or he's revealing what the contents are. He's bringing out into the opening what was hidden. Amen. There was a hidden seed in there. He wants to bring it out. He wants to bring it to an outcome or an output. Amen. And he does it by revelation in order to bring the input to an expected end. Amen. That's what he wants to do. Right. Revelation is the revealing of truth. The processing that takes the seed and produces and causes it to perform what it's supposed to perform. Amen. Isn't every seed supposed to be known of its kind? Show us the Father. Listen to this. I like that message title. Show us the Father. We want to know what the input is, don't we? And we want to see the output. God promised to bless his word. God promised to bless the thing that he put inside of you. He promised to bless that thing. And then Brother Branham says he will. Now I like that. Not you will, but he will. He will watch over his word to perform. God will do it. You leave your hands off of it. Take that approach. Take that attitude. Said, not my will, Lord, but your will be done. Amen. Jesus always put that in front of him. said, I do nothing till the Father shows me. And when you see me doing something, you're seeing the Father doing it because the Father is the one that said to do it. See, that law of life is in there. Let it take care of it.
That's right.
I tell our people, I said, don't rush things. The same God that brought you to where you're at, He'll do the same for the young people.
Amen.
Our responsibility is to raise them up in the ways of the Lord. And we can overkill sometimes. If I had some things to do over, I probably would have done it differently. But God knows.
Amen. Yes.
We've all got good children, don't we?
Yes.
We've got good children.
Amen.
I could give the high, nothing but high praise for all of us this
yes.
morning.
Amen.
He will watch over you. There's something to come to my mind. Teach your children. Teach them right and wrong. Let them know what the word no means. But don't always just let it be no. Let it be yes sometimes. Let them know that. But teach them. Teach them the difference between a man and a woman. You know what I'm talking about. But He will watch over His word. He may cause you to do something, but He's the one watching. He'll take care of it. You believe that? The Word of God, Jesus said, was a seed. And it's the seed of God. Every word is a seed. I love that right there. It is a seed. Isaiah 55 and verse 11. Very familiar scripture. So shall my word be. I like that. If I didn't go no further. So shall my word be. It's going to happen. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth.
Amen.
Let God's word be the truth, but let whatever comes out of man's mouth, let it be a lie.
Amen.
But let God's word be. It shall not return unto me void. Amen. God don't withdraw Himself. He don't take back. He doesn't cancel out. I don't know if God having any cancellations, do you? We do sometimes, but God never has. Nothing besets God along the way. Listen to this. But it shall accomplish that which I please. Amen. Let's bring it home. We have a word inside of it that will accomplish what we believe.
Amen.
It will accomplish that. Now, I like this last part. And it shall prosper in the thing. Good morning, thing. It shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. If God sends you somewhere, it will prosper. But don't you do it on your own. I've done that before. I'm honest. And I've watched things back far before, and I thought, I better not do that again.
Amen.
Ezekiel 12:25. For I am the Lord. And when it's spelled capital L-O-R-D, that means it's the all self-sufficient one.
Yes.
The self-sufficient one. I will speak. I will declare, and the word that I speak shall come to pass. I like that, don't you? It shall be no more prolonged. See, God doesn't postpone His word. He does not stop, but proceeds. God don't miss any appointments, does He? But He proves what He said He was going to do, and He performs. He does what He says He's going to do by making it perform.
Amen.
I seen the performance going on this morning.
Yes.
For in your days, O rebellious house, this house up here sometimes gets a little rebellious sometimes. You know what I mean? Someone said something, I had to make myself get up and go to church this morning. We all had to. Oh, rebellious house. Now, like this part right here. Will I say the word? Rebellious house, I'm going to say the word anyhow. I will say the word and will perform it. He'll do it anyhow, saith the Lord God. I will make it happen. I will perform it. Deuteronomy 18:18, we'll read a few verses here. This is familiar scripture too. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee. And I, and will put my words in his mouth. A prophet of God never comes with his own message. He comes with God's message. Doesn't come with his own word, he comes with God's word. A true prophet of God will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. Verse 19, and it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken, if you don't take the input, look out. Whosoever will not hearken unto my words which he shall speak in my name, I will require of them. I will require of him. So when God speaks, he's got something to say. And sometimes he speaks it through someone. I don't care who it is. It could be the little child to the eldest. God, if God wants you, he'll use whoever he wants to speak through. And that makes it a directive from God when he's doing it. That makes it official. He can speak through whoever he wants to at any time he wants to. I've told this before, but my grandson, he's married now. But when he was just a little fellow, and I'm going to guess around 3 or 4 years old, he walked into the room and told his grandmother's, which would be his step-grandfather, he told him, said, you need to quit smoking. Little child walked in the room. No one told him but God. God told that little child. That was a directive from God. God told him to stop. And he never stopped. A few months later, he died. But that little fellow saw something. Verse 20. But the prophet shall presume. We don't want no presuming. We want, thus saith the Lord. Presume means to assume something. We don't want to assume anything. Sometimes we can't help it. We just assume that this brother or sister, and I'll leave it there. But presume means to assume or to venture out without God's authority.
That's right. See,
the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. There will be a separation. There's an end to those things which are not of God. Now, I like this because he's explaining what he wants them to know. And if thou shalt say in thy heart, how shall we know? How shall we know if the input's right or wrong? How shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? How are we going to know if the input or the output's right or wrong, Lord? Go over and read 1 John, the 4th chapter. Bible said, try the spirits and see if they be of God. The spirit which confesses that Christ is come in the flesh, that's the right input.
That's right.
That's the Spirit of God.
Yes.
But a spirit that confesses not that he's come in the flesh, present tense, that's the wrong input. That's a bad spirit.
Amen.
So when a prophet speak in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, If it doesn't follow what God said, if the thing follow not nor come to pass, that is the thing. That's what you need to look at. That is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. That's not God's input. If what's spoken doesn't come to pass, then the input wasn't from God.
Amen.
But the prophet has spoken it presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid of him. If you hear something false, you don't have to swallow it. If you do, you're going to spit it out pretty quick. You're not going to like the taste of it. So if the input's wrong, it just makes sense the output's going to be wrong, right? Perfection. I love what Brother Branham said here. Before the world was ever formed, this takes us back to the mind of God. I like that place. Before the world was ever formed, we were placed in Christ. Right there. Where did you come into Christ? Before the world ever was. And one sense of the word, you never was saved on any day. We just went through the process. We went through the steps. But we were already saved. We were always in the mind of Christ. Brother Branham says, think of it. God being infinite, who cannot lie, cannot speak anything contrary. He knows everything. Just as perfect at the beginning as he is at the ending. And just as perfect at the end as he was the beginning. Genesis is just as perfect as the book of Revelation. Vice versa. And Satan hates those two books. Because he has a beginning and he has an end. Revelations 1:8, and we'll come back to our quote here. I want to throw this scripture in here. You know the scripture, Revelations 1:8. He says, I am Alpha and Omega. I'm the input and I'm the output. Amen. The beginning and the ending. That's the end of it. The beginning and the ending. I'm just as perfect as the beginning as I am in the ending of it. There's no flaws in this thing, saith the Lord. Which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He always will be. So there's a difference between God and Satan. Do we believe that? God is eternal. Satan has an end. And don't ever try to type God as Satan. Don't do that because, listen, death and hell follow Satan. Life follows Jesus Christ. Satan is just a bluff. See, the difference between God and Satan, God is sufficient. He's all sufficient. Satan, he's not that. He can only take what God says, take it and tweak it and pervert it and make it say something totally different. That's all he's got to go on. Now back to our quote here, God is endless like eternity. You can never find the corner of a perfect circle. You could run and run through ages and eternity, and there never, never, never be an end to it. And that's the way God is. So God is eternal. He has no corners. But Satan cuts the corners. So he has to have an end, don't he? And when he be first. Amen. Be first was God which always was. So who was first? The self-sufficient one or Satan? Who was first, you or Satan? You were in the mind of God. God which always was, he was infinite, perfect to begin with, and he will always be the same. Yes. He never can change. He's perfectly the same. Amen. What God put in you is still perfectly the same. Amen. It might advance some. It's probably grew some. Revelation grows. Amen. God put it in there, and He's the one making it grow. Amen. And it's still perfectly the same. Amen. It's just greater. Amen. Now, to find the truth, you've got to know the truth. Amen? If you want to know the truth, you got to find where the truth's at. You must be led by the truth.
Yes.
And without the truth, we're lost. Without the light and darkness, you're lost. So when you come to acknowledge the truth, something lively raises up. When you come to recognize the truth, you're going to recognize it's something lively. It's not something dead. And you no longer have to search for the truth. Brother Moore, I think you and I were talking one time, and we were talking a little bit about the person have the truth. They could get no more truth than what they've already got. And I like what he said. St. John 8 and 32, I've got a lot of scripture, but it's talking about these things. And he said, "And ye shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free." So when you come to know, when you come to know that the truth is a lively thing, that it's a person inside of you, amen, you no longer have to search for it. Amen. You've come to yourself. You've come to your senses.
Amen.
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 You know what you've done? You've come from a place of not knowing to knowing.
Yes.
They asked Tom Kidd a question one time. He says, "How do you know you're saved?" An old-time minister, Brother Branham, loved him. I think it was young people. They wanted to know. He said, "Well, I was there when it happened." That was saying, "I ought to know. I was there when it happened to me." St. John 14, verse 5, Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest." He's telling him, "I've got to go. Because there's a furtherance of me that you need to know more about of. If I don't go away, I will not be able to send the Comforter back to you."
Amen.
God wanted to make it personal. Brother John was talking about being personal this morning. So Thomas is telling, "Lord, how are we going to know?" And Jesus says, "I am the way, I'm the truth, and the life. I'm that lively thing that you need to have to come inside of you.
Amen.
No man cometh unto the Father but by me." If I don't do it, you won't get it.
Amen.
If I don't do it, there won't be no input. If there's no input, there won't be no output.
Amen.
In verse 7, "If you had known me," if you had known the truth, if you had truly known what the input is,
right,
you should have known my Father also.
Amen. Yes.
But Jesus did not leave him hanging. Listen to what he said here. "And from henceforth," right now, "you know him and have seen him." When Jesus declared it, it was so. So when God uses his penmanship, when God does it, and he transcribes or he writes it up on the tables of your heart, it then, to you, it becomes a word of truth. It becomes doable.
Yes.
When God writes it up on the table of your heart and he takes it from here and puts it in here,
right,
that makes a difference. It makes it doable. You can't do this.
No.
That's not doable. That's right, Brother Isaiah. It's got to become a living word. A living word makes it doable. It becomes attainable. And so when the word of truth falls into the heart of a believer, it causes the word of truth. It causes it to do something. It causes it to become tangible. It causes it to become actionable. It brings an understanding. It becomes real to you, don't it? Becomes real to who? To the believer. Because the Spirit of the truth is the one that gave it. He's the one that placed it there. And if he placed it there, he's going to make sure it performs what it's supposed to perform.
Yes.
It's no longer something dead. that it's a lively substance. He's the one proving what it said. Remember that always. He's the one doing it. He's the one that's proving His own word by bringing it to pass. So if the Spirit of truth is in us, then we're no longer looking for it, are we? Once we come to recognize, hey, it's a lively thing in me, I've come to the place that God wanted me to come to.
That's right.
You're no longer searching for it.
Right.
Amen? Amen.
Right.
You're no longer searching for it because you've come to that spot.
You can leave the wallet in there.
Okay. Thank you. Are you a poor man? If the Spirit of truth is in you, you no longer belong to this flesh. You no longer have to try to please it. We belong to God and we move by His Spirit. My words are spirit in their life. They're emotion. Zechariah 4 and 6. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power. It's not by any sufficiency or ability of our own.
Amen. Right.
It's not that. That we're able to understand Him. But by my Spirit saith the Lord of hosts.
Amen.
If anything's going to happen, it will be by the Spirit of God.
Right.
And if you don't understand Him, just wait for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
God will bring it your way. But you got to trust Him. But if you step out there without authority and you try to figure it out, look out.
Amen.
It'll probably upset something.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
It takes the Spirit of God to quicken it to you. Let Him be the quickener.
Yes.
It takes Him to quicken it, to make it understandable, and to make it doable. Lord, this is doable.
Amen?
Amen. 2 Corinthians 3 and 3. For as you are manifestly declared, we're declared to be epistles. Declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink.
Wow.
Not written with ink.
Right.
But with the Spirit of the living God. That makes all the difference right there.
Amen.
Not in tables of stone,
right,
but in fleshly tables of the heart. When the word is transcribed upon the tables of a heart, then it becomes a lively substance.
Amen.
It becomes actionable. It becomes doable. I can handle this.
Yes.
Because it's not me doing it. It's God doing it.
Amen.
In verse 4, and such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Keep your eyes off of man. Look to God.
Yes.
Put your trust in Him. And stay there. Don't move. When you've done all you can do to stand, keep standing in that spot.
Amen.
Wait on Him. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves. But our sufficiency, our ability is of God.
Amen.
That's where it comes from. In verse 6, who also hath made us able ministers. He did it. He made us priests and kings.
Amen.
Kings and priests. That's what He made. Of the New Testament. Couldn't be that in the Old Testament. But now we can be that.
Amen.
It was God above us in the pillar of fire. Brother Moore was talking a little bit about this, I think. My memory ain't too good. But God was above us in the pillar of fire. But God wanted to express Himself in a much greater way.
Right.
Has anyone ever seen the pillar of fire? I mean, actually seen it? When I was a kid, me and my dad was sitting out on the front porch, right in broad daylight. The sky was blue as it could be. And all of a sudden it appeared and went right across and disappeared. But we saw it, me and him. And if he was here, he would tell you that. But there's something much greater than that.
Amen.
So it was God above us in the pillar of fire, but that pillar of fire wanted to get closer.
Amen.
So the next thing it did to get itself closer, it came into the body of Jesus Christ, and it was God with us.
Amen. Yes.
But God wanted to take it one more step further. He wanted to be closer than that.
Yes.
So he come down. He said, wait till you're endued with power from on high. And I'll put a piece of me right inside of you. Amen. So he brought it to a higher level. But remember this, not that we're higher than the pillar of fire. No, no. The way up is down. So God wanted to express himself. God is humility and he's simplicity. So by God's own greatness of humility and simplicity, he was able to express himself in a much greater way. God with us, now God in us. Hold on to that. That pillar of fire that we saw is much greater in here than seeing it by the eye. I know what's in here. It's a lively substance. Amen. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth. But the Spirit giveth life. The Spirit is what brings it home to you. Amen. It comes inside of you as a lively stuff and not as something dead. But if the administration of death written and engraved in the stones was glorious, if all that thing that they were doing down through the Old Testament, if that part was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. God wanted to express himself in a much greater way. Man asked for the law. God didn't. God didn't ask for that. Man asked for that. In verse 8, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit? If God said, I will do it, isn't that much greater? How shall not the administration of the Spirit be rather glorious? Amen. Isn't it much more glorious to be without condemnation than to be sitting under it? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after flesh, who don't walk after that thing of the Old Testament. There's something much greater. It exceeds in glory. So when the Spirit of truth comes into the heart, it's going to do something. It's going to identify itself with you. God wants to identify himself with you. He wants to raise you up. He wants you to be the light. He wants you to be the candle. And he will identify you. Jesus is praying. I love St. John, the 17th chapter. I like the way Jesus prayed. And that's where he said, Father, make them one even as we are one. Give them that same glory. And he said, Father, don't take them. I pray that you don't take them out of the world. But keep them from the world. See, we need this world in its condition in one sense because God's pulling something out of us. Lord, to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Well, it's revealed to us. It's gross darkness out there, but it's light in here. It's who it's revealed to. But we need it to gross darkness because our light is shining brighter than any age ever been. There's never been a day like this day. Never been a day like this day. St. John 17, verse 17. Sanctify them. That means to separate. Lord, acknowledge them. Sanctify them. Acknowledge them through thy truth. Yes. See, the truth is the identifier. It's the one that identifies its own.
Amen.
Thy word is truth. Thy word is an identifier. You identified each one of us sitting here this morning. So the word of truth becomes actionable. Are lively through identification. It's not just a dead letter, but it quickens. It turns something on in here.
Yes.
Verse 18, as thou hast sent me into the world, you identified me. Now I'm going to identify them.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Do you know where you're at? Has it been turned on to you? As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. We're here. And we're going to see many things probably before we get out here. But I don't like what I'm seeing. I'll be honest with you. I don't like it. But we're here. And it's doing exactly what it's supposed to be doing. I'm not of the world. Identified with Christ. Listen to what he says here. Share. Share in his meekness. You're allowed to. That's the input. And he says, you'll share also in his power. Input, output. Be meek, be humble. And if you do that, there's other things to share. Share in his obedience, he says. And you'll share in his resurrection. The resurrection's here already, and we're sharing in it. And it's your resurrection going on right now. But it's not over yet. It will keep moving because it's in the seed. Hallelujah. Share in his obedience. Do as God says to do. Be obedient to his word. As you are sharing his word, you're doing what he wants you to do. You know what you're doing? You're identifying yourself with him.
Amen.
I love identification. Yes. In my heart, the greatest thing I could think of is to be like Christ. Jesus Christ. My dad used to say it. I want to be more like him. And I thought, Dad, you already are. But I come to find out later on what he wanted. He just wanted more of it. Give me another drink of that fountain.
That's right.
Fill my cup.
Yes.
Let it overflow. You know what I'll do? I'll empty it out to others. Then, Lord, fill my cup up again. Give me some more goodies. And we'll keep pouring it out.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
To be like Jesus Christ, to be identified with him. There's why I baptize the people in the name of Jesus Christ. Because he is our identification. And I like this last part. We pack the identification. So, we must be led by the Spirit. We must be led by the truth. And if we're not, we won't know the way. We have to be led by the truth. And the only way to know the truth is to come to God's place. This takes me to Brother James. I believe it was the last time that he was down here. He preached on God's provided place. Amen. That brain, when you follow the truth, it's going to bring you to that place. It's going to bring you to his place. Job 23:3. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. Job wanted to come to God's place. Amen. Did you want to come to God's place at one time in your life? If there's a desire to see it, then it has to be somewhere close. If the desire wasn't there, then it wouldn't be there. Job wanted to come to God's place, that I might come even to his seat. Job was curious. He wanted to know, where does God sit at? Job 42:5 kind of answers it, don't it? I have heard of thee. I heard God had a seat. I heard he had a place. I've been listening. I heard by the hearing of the ear. I received the input. So I know it has to be. But now mine eyes see thee. Amen. I can now see the input made visible. You're the visible this morning.
Yes.
Ain't that wonderful? Give God a good hand clap. Yes. You're the visible. We've come to that spot that we see who Jesus Christ is today.
Yes.
We've come to that.
Yes,
I've heard, but now I see. always when the word is confirmed. That means established.
Yes.
So when the word of truth is confirmed, or it's established in the heart of the believer, it's the input of what God said. Being made visible. When the word is confirmed, that's God speaking in his word, making himself visible. Amen. That you can see. God wanted us to see. Amen. I heard, but now I see. Forgive me, all these scriptures. But we need these things right here. We're going to make sure that we got this thing right.
That's right.
Hosea chapter 6, verse 2. Now, God always performs. He always does what he says he's going to do. He does it in his own time. Now, Scripture has compound meaning, compound revelation. So what you might use one verse of Scripture for one time, you may turn around and use it for something totally different another time. It's okay to do that. Verse 2. After 2 days. Now, 1,000 years is only a day to God. After 2 days, after 2,000 years, will he revive us. In the third day, he will raise us up. It's been over 2,000 years. We're in the third day right now, Brother Moore. And we're standing up tall. We've been raised up. We're past the church age time. We're standing on the other side of the church ages. It's dark here, but light over here. We've gone beyond church age thinking. We've been brought into plain view now. After 2 days, when we move into the third day, he will raise us up. And we shall live where? In his sight. We've come to that time where we're living. We've moved into a day. What a great recognition we got going on now. That we're holding eternal life. We've stepped into the eighth day. You remember a while ago when we were talking, we were explaining, when you build walls and everything, you separate yourself. Listen, there's no measuring. No counting the days or numbers in the eighth day. We've stepped into eternity. We're in plain view. We're in his sight now. Amen. We're holding eternal life, and it's real. It's no longer looking through a glass darkly. We had glasses down through here, and we couldn't see much. We were like on the outside. These windows are kind of tinted a little bit. You couldn't hardly see nothing there. But we were seeing bits and pieces. But then when the book opened, we stepped right inside of that book. And we become the book. Now we see it. It makes it a complete picture now. Jesus said this in St. John 14:20, at that day, you shall know that I am in the Father, ye in me, and I in you. Brother Branham said, that day's now.
Right.
Amen, Brother Branham. I'll take you on that. I agree with you.
Yes.
All that the Father was.
Come on.
I was glad these two glasses up here. All that the Father was, he poured into Christ.
That's right.
Amen.
Right.
And all that he poured into Christ, he poured into us. The Spirit and the Bride are the same.
Amen.
If I drink a thimbleful and that's all I get, I've got everything that God is.
Yes.
The Spirit and the Bride both are saying the same thing.
Yes.
Don't count yourself short.
Come on.
Amen. Amen. We're saying the same thing. It's no more myth or story to us.
Right.
It's the real McCoy.
Amen.
It's real. It's something that's living on the inside and is wanting to push itself out.
Amen.
It's a reality.
Amen.
Recognizing your day and its message.
Right.
Everything that he said is fulfilled and proven. Amen. Is that right? Yes. Now, I believe God does things in phases. When we talk about the resurrection going on now.
Right.
But it's not the end of it. Everything is in the seed. Whatever God is in the seed.
Right.
Whatever He poured in Christ, He poured into us.
Right.
We're everything that He is.
Right.
Let me read a few of these things for encouragement. Questions and answer. Are we okay on time? Because I don't want to drag it out. The only thing you can put your trust in is thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
From the Bible. Now, church, that's us.
Yeah.
Now, church, that's exactly where I have tried to keep you, my children. That's a true prophet.
Amen.
You can count on the input.
Yes.
To be the same as the output. And if something happens to me, God takes me out of this earth, don't you never fail.
Amen.
Remember this with all your heart. Put your heart into it. Stay with that word.
Amen.
Stay with the truth. Stay with what God put in you.
Amen.
Don't you leave that word. Anything contrary to it, leave it alone.
Amen. Amen.
Don't entertain it. Leave it alone. No matter what it is,
Amen.
Leave it alone.
Amen.
Then you know it's right. If we don't stay with the truth, how are we going to know? If you don't stay with what God put in you, I'm trying to make it that real. How are you going to know it's right? He that is in you, I like this one. God keep me little and humble so that He can reveal His truth. Don't ever think that you're better than somebody because you're not. I told my brother, I said, the only difference between you and your neighbor is what you've got inside of you. Flesh is flesh. Dogs are dogs. Cats are cats. Humans are humans. And God is God. Help me to stay humble so that He can reveal His truth. See, I never want to do that. No bright lights. No flare or flash to the world. Let's stay humble. I like this place here. Let me take the way with the Lord's despised few. Let me stay with the Word. You're the Word. What think you of Christ? What a message title. What do you think about this thing that God put in you? What do you think about the one sitting next to you? And everything that God is worth. I like that. Everything that God is worth and everything that God is behind that word. It's behind the word that He put inside of you.
Right.
The thing that God put inside of you, it has a worth to it. It has a value. It has an importance.
That's right.
Everything that you are means everything to Him. Wisdom versus faith. It looks like right now that the little church, this is kind of familiar, isn't it? The little church, you're the little church that God's talking to this morning. You're the little church that God that's holding God's worth. Listen how He explains this. That little church that believes the full word is certainly in the minority. But don't you worry. The Bible said, fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. That's right, see. Don't fear, just stay in faith. Stay with the revelation that God gave you. Stay right with the Word. Stay with the Word that God put inside of you. Don't leave that Word. Stay with the Word. Then I like this one. Stay with the Word. That's God's camp. God has a campground, don't He? That's God's camp for His people. Amen? I want to try to get through just a few more, then we'll bring this to a close. Output always equals input. What goes in is what comes out. If the input has a worth and a value to it, then the output should have a worth and a value to it. If you put something in the vending machine, you're going to get what you put in there. You'll get the worth of it. Whatever you plant or allow to be planted up here in your mind, your garden, is the thing that's going to be produced from your garden. You reap what you sow. And remember this, our thoughts speak louder than our words do. It speaks louder. Proverbs 24 and 1, be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. Why? Listen to verse 2. For their heart studieth destruction. Now here's the thing. If you're looking to find some dirt, if you're looking to find fault in someone, Satan will show you the fault. He'll give you all kinds of stuff about this outside guy. If that's what you want, you'll get what you expect. See, for the heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. That means it does damage, it does hurt. Sometimes we get things that we didn't even ask for. We get hurt, we get damaged, but God will get you through the damage and the hurt. Don't worry about it. I think I picked something up then. We've been hurt, Brother Moore. But don't worry. Through wisdom, not the wisdom of a man, but the wisdom that comes by God, by revelation. Through wisdom is a house built. I think we got a pretty good house here. Not the structure, the people. This is a good house. And by understanding, it is established. Now, I got a couple things here I want to just share. The house of God or His church is built upon revelation. We understand that. That only comes from God Himself. Jesus said upon this rock, upon the input of revelation, will I build my church? Now, listen to what the outcome is. I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I like the input and I like the output. Amen. Amen. The understanding by which God's house is established comes by the Word of God being spoken and then quickened or made alive. Remember, God's one doing it. He gave you the input and then He made it alive. We are made alive or established in the kingdom of God by His Spirit or by the power of revelation. Didn't the Scripture say they'd have a form of godliness? Amen. They'd have a form. But what good is a form if you deny the power of revelation? See? But to us, we want that power. We want that revelation. Verse 4, and by knowledge, pay close attention to this one. By knowledge, or by acknowledgement, by understanding. That means it's actionable. So when it says by knowledge, you could say by acknowledging. Shall these chambers up here, these compartments, these channels that Satan has access to. You know I'm telling you the truth. Yes. Brother Branham said, don't tell me there ain't no devil. Because I have to deal with him every day.
That's right.
That's right.
By knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches.
Yes.
Well, the question is, what is the precious and pleasant riches? What is he talking about here? Well, it's the revealed Word of God.
Yes.
We could call it the unfailing body Word of the Lord. We could call it, like Brother Moore called it, it's the breaking of bread.
Yes.
That's what the precious and pleasant riches are.
Yes.
It's the breaking of bread. It's God making Himself known to you. So we're eating on that unfailing body Word of the Lord. We're sitting at His table. And it's by its precious and pleasant riches we're able we're able to take a vengeance. We can take vengeance against these things up here that's not of God. We are able to cast down imagination and reasoning. And everything that comes against it, you're allowed to cast it down. You're allowed to take vengeance on it. By filling it with precious and good things coming from the unfailing body, word of the Lord, the breaking of bread. You're allowed to do it. Fill your chambers with good things. And when it comes up again, it will. It'll come knocking on your door. The birds will fly over. And this time of year, you have to turn your head every moment. You see things you don't want to see. And if you don't see it, Satan will put it in your mind. But you've got to cast it down. Take vengeance. Your vengeance is full, it's complete when you cast it down and you fill it with good things. Jeremiah 3 and 15. I'm going to try to close here. And I will give you pastors. I will give you shepherds. God will make sure that He takes care of the word that He put inside of it. He will give you pastors. He will give you a ministry. He'll give you shepherds according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. What are we being fed with? Amen. Our minds are being fed from God's table. Brother Moore, I appreciate you. You've been a good minister. You've been a good preacher. You've stood in there. You've stood the test. God has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. Come and dine, the Master calleth. Let me just pull out a couple more scriptures as the musicians come. You love Him?
Amen.
Galatians 5, the 5th chapter. And it reads like this. Stand fast. That means to be persistent. Therefore, in the liberty... God has given you a freedom. He's given you a liberty. He's given you the right to omit or to ignore things that have no relationship to your salvation.
Amen.
Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. We're free from anything that doesn't pertain to our salvation. And be not entangled again. If you left something, don't go back to it.
Amen.
Wherever you leave Jesus, that's where you'll find Him. Let me go on here. We're free to serve God. Verse 2, behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, if the works of the flesh is going to be your input, Christ shall not profit you nothing. He'll profit you nothing. If that's going to be your input, if your input's going to be the work of the flesh, then Christ ain't going to mean much to you. I'm going to drop down to verses 5 and 6. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. That's the righteousness that we want. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision nor uncircumcision. The works of the flesh don't avail anything. It don't mean one thing. But faith which worketh by love.
Amen.
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 Love always accompanies faith.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
The input is the Spirit that waits for the hope of righteousness by faith. The output is faith that works by love. I like that, don't
Amen.
You? When love accompanies faith, then it's no longer I have to. I want to. Let us stand. TFC. Do you love Him this morning? He was there all the time. He was there all the time. inside. He was there all the time. He was there all the time. He was there all the time. Just for you. Waiting patiently inside. He was there all the time. Are you happy? And now I behold him. I now behold him face to face in all of his glory. I now behold him. Now behold him face to face.
I love you, Brother Moore.
Amen. We now behold him. We now behold him. We now behold. Face to face. Face to face. Our Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen. Oh, we now behold him. We now behold him. We now behold him. Face to face. Face to face. Our Savior. Our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated for just a minute. Amen. God bless you, Brother Allen. I enjoyed that. I don't know when he started, my geekness came out. In high school, I graduated, and my major was computer science. In college, I did computer science. And I can't ever hear an input and output. And I know, y'all know, I have geeky sisters too. You can't think of input and output without talking about computer science. And a thing I love about it, let me tell you a little something. Let me tell you how it works, how it really works. The zeros and ones of this, let's get it down to the machine level. If you, because I was, when he's talking, I was thinking how many times I'd written a program. And when you put the program together, if you don't put the right stuff into your program,
right.
Oh, you'll get an outcome. You'll get, something will come out, but it won't be right.
Right.
We had simple things we had to do is to do a do loop or something simple. And you had to go in, do the do loop, and you come out with a number at the end. Well, if you messed up your programming and you put the wrong thing in, it would not come out with the right answer. I don't care how hard you worked on it. I don't care how many hours you worked on it. It would not come out with the right answer. And same thing with God. If you don't put the right thing in, you're not going to get the right thing out. If you want the right answer, you got to know what goes into getting that answer. And as a programmer, your job is to ensure that everything is in place. so that you can get the right answer. And just think about the Word of God. Everything that God spoke is the right input. If the Word is right. The problem ain't the Word. The problem is how we process. See, between the input and the output, you got the process. How we process the Word, we can mess the whole process up and come out with the wrong answer. Am I right, Eula? So when you put in the Word, you got to process it correctly. You can't put a cow eating grass in the top of a tree, because that ain't the right process. You can't put the wrong things in the Word of God and expect to come out with the right output. Now, the Bible tells me that he said that we're going to be raptured. That's the output. So in order to get the rapture, you got to get the right input. Matter of fact, you're not going in a rapture if you don't believe in it. If you don't even have that as the input, I ain't worried about your output. But if you see the Word of God says, those that are alive and remain won't hinder those which are asleep.
That's right.
But they'll be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. That's the input.
Yes.
We're in the middle of the process right now.
Right.
It's called life. And we're living this life. But in living this life, we're not changing the input.
Nope.
We're just taking that input in and making it become one with us.
Right.
And the output will be the body change.
Right.
That's how God is. He's a simple mathematician. he's a computer major. He knows. See, I told you I had some geek in me. But that's what I hear when I hear input and output. I did it so many years and did it so long, and I know how that process works. And I love that, Brother Allen, because the whole thing about the process, the input and output, you take the Word of God in. Like you read. Thy word, that's what David said. David was a programmer too. Do y'all know that?
Yeah.
David was a programmer too. He said, thy word have I hid in my heart. Matter of fact, that's what I took in. I took the word in and I put it in my heart that I might not sin against thee. That was the outcome.
Yes.
You take the word in and you won't sin.
Amen.
You say you won't? No. You can't sin. Sin is unbelief.
Right.
See, you say, I didn't know sin was unbelief. That's because your input wasn't right. Your processing was off.
Okay.
I made many programs and wrote many programs. I had to go back and correct them. See, Ted, when I was at Wright State in the college, y'all don't know this about Brother Ted, but he was a student there, and he worked in the computer room where they, back in the day when they had those green paper tear-offs. He was the guy that tore off the computer and put it on the counter for you to get. So you'd go run your program, and you'd get that from Ted, and you'd look at it, and you see you had errors. So what happens when you have errors? You got to go back and correct the errors. See, the problem people have is they don't want to go back and correct nothing. Brother Branham said, the zeal of the hour is I'm wrong. If you can say you're wrong, you can get right. If you don't know you're wrong, you ain't changing nothing. The problem with this age is they're blind, wretched, miserable, poor, and naked. And don't know it. You don't know how to correct it if you don't know it's wrong. You don't know how to get the output right if you don't know the output's wrong. If you look at your life and it's all messed up and you can't get answers and you're down and out on everything, check what you put in there. Check the data. Check the process. Well, I believe the word. A lot of people say, I believe the word, but it never has an effect on their life. That means you didn't run it through the process. Yeah, it ain't no good to have the program and have it all written up and you never run it. See, y'all don't know y'all going to computer science today. But that's the way it works. It works. Nature itself testifies of these things. So you get the input right, you let the process do its perfect work in you, and the output will be exactly what God said from the beginning.
Amen.
You can't miss it. You can't miss it. We get in trouble because we try to tweak the process because we don't like. We don't want to do it God's way. We want to do it our way.
Amen.
And we try to make it our thinking. And we'll say, well, if we just move this, we don't need that line. We'd take this out. Well, I believe most of the Bible, but I don't really believe this part. And I don't. I think it's this way. You ain't going to get the right output. But just take the word as it is. Let it have its perfect work in your life. And you will find yourself walking the scripture. Your very life will become the word of God made manifest. And everybody around you know it. Those who can read it. So some people ain't going to ever pick it up. They didn't pick up Jesus. Took him and hung him on a cross. As Jay said, they killed him. They didn't read it right. And the same with you. Some people will read it and they'll find God. And they'll say, I see God there. And some people look at you and say, you're wasting your time. But you know what? Those aren't computer science majors. They don't know how to read them. They couldn't read a flow if they had to. Anyway, Brother Allen, I enjoyed that.
Amen.
I really did. It's good that everyone's come out and glad to have you here. Now, I'm doing my announcements because I don't have Jay or Jeremiah here who always reminds me of what we're supposed to be doing. Today's Sunday. Keep me straight, church. Saturday morning. Is it this coming? Is this coming? Okay, I was thinking I'm awful at announcements. This coming Saturday, we're going to the wilds. The church is taking a church trip to the wilds. We are leaving here at 8 o'clock. We have to be here by loaded in our cars at 7:45 with gas. I'm looking at John to make sure his head is saying yes. 7:45 with gas in your cars. It's on the other side of Columbus. If you haven't already paid your money to John, do it. Today's the day. And the church is paying for half of it. If you're complaining about paying $23 a person, you're only paying half of it. So we're not making money on this. We're just doing an outing, and the church is going to have a good time together. And the wilds is animals out. Well, I don't know, safari type thing. It's on the other side of Columbus, I think, and we'll be leaving here early in the morning, so don't be late. Have gas in your car. I heard them say that a couple of times, because ain't nothing worse than coming to a church trip and you say, well, I need to go fill up my car. So come with gas in your car. That's Saturday. I'll be leaving, Lord willing, on Sunday morning. So Jeremiah will be back, Lord willing, tomorrow. He will be ministering Sunday morning, and I will be going away with my family for a week. Well, I'll be gone for 2 weeks, but I don't want you to think I'm on vacation for 2 weeks because it's not on vacation. The first week's vacation. The second week when I come back, I'm staying at Eula's, coming and going. we're going to go. The plan is to come back to Eula's the 17th, which will be Monday. Melanie's flying in because she's nosy. She said, I need to have a driver. We're driving from Atlanta, and we're going to Brother Fred's church in South Carolina, and we're going to minister there on Wednesday, the 19th, I think it is, and then we'll be back on that Thursday. So I'll be gone for like almost 2 weeks. Pray for us. It's not all fun and games. We got work to do. Fred's excited. He called me the other day, and so he's excited for us coming. So pray for those trips. I know there's some other things coming up, but the announcements will have them. No Bible study tonight. We're canceling tonight's service, and I know. I already can feel it, but I want to do it. It's a holiday weekend. Give me a break, people. I keep asking Brother Allen, y'all want to change Bible study? Want to cancel it? You want to do something different? They're like, oh, no, we love this. And I get texts and I say hate mail from people. They want me to put it on the internet, and I tell them this is a family night. We don't put it on the internet. We come, we don't sing, we just sit down and talk. Amen. And that's what we do on Sunday nights. And they keep coming back, and I keep saying, y'all want to change this up? Y'all want to? No, we're good. And but it's good. We enjoy it. So no Bible study tonight. And Jeremiah will tell you what he wants to do when he's here next week. So pray for them on their way back. Continue to remember Brother Jay. I'm sort of the go-between from the mobs and him. And so it was. John and I went to see him yesterday, and he said that they had given him fruit, and he ate some fruit, and he said he crushed it. So he's on his way back. So just keep praying. Keep praying. Because, you know, you have your good days, you have your bad days, you have your ups and your downs, and just keep praying for him. He needs your prayers, and keep the body in prayer. And we'll see you when we get back, Lord willing. And I appreciate you coming. Come back anytime. Anytime. And I said, Sunday or Wednesday, it doesn't matter. You say, well, Sunday morning, you got to preach. I don't have to preach. Y'all see me over there. I got a couple pages of notes out there. So I'm good. So remember those announcements. And I know I'm probably forgetting something, but Jeremiah will fix it when he gets back. Amen. So let's stand. Amen. We're standing on holy ground. And I know that there are angels. I know that there's angels all around. Let us praise him because we are standing on holy ground. God bless you. Good to have the family here. Good to have little Bethlehem here. Good to have Fairburn Community Tabernacle here. Good to see Danny in the house. Amen. We are standing on holy ground. And I know that there are angels all around. So let us praise him, Lord Jesus, now. Yes, we are standing
on holy ground, and I know that there are angels